Okay, we just began Perek Zayin. We got a few psukim into Perek Zayin. Okay, let's get back into, let's get Pasuk Gimel. Okay, I think we did Pasuk Gimel, we'll just get back into the swing of things. And we did Pasuk Beis, we went through the... We went through the chiddush of the Targum. Targum taught us that Achashverosh at this point in time was so enamored by Esther, he was willing to give her Chatzi HaMalchus, even they say us, even to give her, even to grant the request that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt in the lifetime of their son Daryavish, but not in his lifetime. Pasuk Gimel, Vatan Esther Malka Vatemar Imotzasi Chen Beinecha Ham Beinecha Hamelach V'im Al Hamelach Tov. So here she finally makes a request. This is the big part that we'll be waiting for. Tinosen Li Nafshi B'Sheilosi V'Ami B'Vakoshosi. My request finally is my life, the spirit of my life, as my small request, and my nation as my large request. Rashi Pasuk Gimel, Tinosen Li Nafshi Shloi Eherog. Beshloisha also be ador she gezarta gezeres hariga al ami umeladiti. My request is to spare my life. My request is to stay alive. That is my request. Let's see. Targum pasuk gimel. Uzikofas Esther yodo e noho klape shemaya. Targum over here says vatan. She lifted up her eyes towards shemayim. The asivas Esther malkasa. She raised up her voice, Vasivas Va'amoros, and she said, Im Ashkochis, and I'm not sure what it means Vasivas, I think it means she lifted up Esther Malkos, so she raised up her voice and she said, Va'amoros, In Ashkochis Rachamin Kodomoch Malko, Romo, V'im Kodom Malko De'aro Shapir. So she's addressing two different entities. And there's no comparison between one and the other. She's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she's also speaking to Achashverosh. So that's about Tanis HaMalka V'Toymar, and this is for further explanation, that's why it says here twice. It says Vatan V'Toymar. Vatan refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and V'Toymar refers to Hashem. There's a double expression of saying. She's speaking, she's lifting up her eyes to Hashem, she's speaking to Hashem, and she's also speaking to Achashverosh. And she says, if it's fitting before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before Vim Kadam Malka D'Aro Shapir, Tis Yehav Li Shezev, means salvation, Nafshi, Min Yido, from the hands, this son of my enemy, V'Sheilosi, that's my She'ela, that I myself should be spared, and maybe their salvation to my nation from the hands of the people, the person who Devel Devove means the person of my quarrel, the person who my antagonist, that may be my Bibousi. So it's a very unique idea, is that when you speak, she said one expression, and the one expression is directed both towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and towards Basar v'dam. This is a chachma. This is a chachma that when you're talking to one person, you're really talking to someone else, or you're really talking to both. She's speaking both to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she's speaking to Achashverosh, making this request. And now she goes on to elaborate, why? Ki nimkarnu ani v'ami l'hashmid l'harogu l'abed. I and my nation have been sold. L'hashmid, three things. L'hashmid l'harogu l'abed. Three different expressions. The ilu, and if only la'avodim l'shvachostim karnu hecharashti, if only the enemy would have been willing just to sell us into slavery as slaves and maidservants, nimkarnu hecharashti, I would have been silent. However, ki ein hatzar shayved b'nei zekamelch, the enemy does not value, shayved does not take into consideration the nezek network. Now this is a very interesting word, is it b'nezek or b'nezek? In my text it says b'nezek. What do you have in your text? Nezek. Okay, in some of the tikkunim it says b'nezek hamelach. I remember I once slain the Megillah, and I almost got a heart attack. I said b'nezek hamelach, and there was a fellow there that screamed out on top of his lungs b'nezek hamelach. I don't know what hit me. I'm used to being corrected, but that was a little bit over the top. Benezek, right? Benezek. They're both correct. I looked into it. They're both correct. They're different. There's no nafkamina in translation and in the pshat. There's just different mesorahs. Some have the tradition it's Benezek HaMelech, and some have the tradition Benezek HaMelech.
That's the normal.
What?
Nezek?
I don't know.
It's Michuz.
Yes, that's right.
Nezek HaMelech? Okay, I don't know. But okay. There are two different nuschos. When you go to the Megillah this year, pay attention, see what the Baal Kriya says. Does he say Benezek or does he say Benezek? I think I now, when I lay, I don't lay that often, but I say both. Benezek HaMelech, Benezek HaMelech, to get both in. I once went to a Megillah, there are a lot of words in the Megillah that there are different shinin nuschos. There's Shushan, there's one place, Shushan and Shushan, V'ir Shushan Novocha. Is it V'ir Shushan Novocha or V'ir Shushan Novocha? There's one place where the Shaila is it Mordechai or Mordechoi? And then there's one in the end of the Megillah, there's a Chimachlegis Negirsa, is it Ace or S? And that's only a few of them. So there are a few different things which are there are a few shinuim. Here is one, Benezek or Benefan, whatever the case of here is. So over here she's saying that the enemy. What?
Kesoch.
No, there's only one. Kesoch HaMelech. Okay, Kesoch. Kesoch. Kesoch HaMelech HaKash. Kesoch, the shin. Kesoch. Okay, whatever we. Okay, is the Gedir came different source. Okay, but over here, Ki Einat, so the enemy, he ain't Shoyver, Shoyver does not, Shoyver means that does not consider. He does not consider the Nezek HaMelech, the damage, the Nezek that will come to the Melech through this nation being destroyed, meaning you're going to lose tax money by destroying the Jewish people. The Jewish people, they pay high taxes. They're in a very high tax bracket, the Jewish people, and you don't realize that by allowing Haman to destroy the Jewish people, you're going to lose income to the Malchus. So this is her complaint. Let's see over here Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Dalet. Ki ein hatzar shoyveh, the enemy shoyveh does not consider to be of significance. As we mentioned many times, shoveh means substance, value. He does not consider does not consider the. Oh, shalom aleichem, welcome back, good to see you back. Ki ein shoyveh benezek hamelech does not consider the shoyveh of substance, of significance.
Worthless.
He does not consider the worth, the damage to the king, the nezek that comes to the melech. He does not consider it to be a matter of substance, a matter of significance, a matter of worth. You have to really read it backwards. The nezek hamelech ein shoyveh. The damage of the melech. In the eyes of this enemy, this tsar, ein shoyveh is of no consideration, is of no worth, of no damage. Now let's get to Rashi. Rashi ki ein shoyveh tsar tsar the ein tsar shoyveh benezek hamelech einenu choishesh benezek is not choishesh. So he sees that Rashi over here is translating the word shoyveh. It's not a literal translation, but it's a more a borrowed term. Choishesh. He does not consider the nezek hamelech sheilu rodaf achar hanosra. If he really this enemy really considered your benefit, if that was really his agenda, he should have said instead, sell the Jewish people as slaves and you'll receive money in their place. Or let them live, let them live, let them serve as your servants. The fact that he has attempted to destroy them and no money will come to the government is obviously a person that shows that he has no consideration for the benefit of the Malchus. Now let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Dalet. Targum Arum because is Dab Nono Magon. We have been a Magon means Magon is Dab Nono. Now, I don't know what the word Magon means. Anov Yami. We have been sold. Kinim Karnus clearly means Ki is Arum is Dab Nono. Magon, not sure what Magon means. Anov Yami, I am a nation, Bebeis Yisrael, Leish Teitzo'o, I'm not sure what that means either. And then that's a destruction. That means lahashmid. Leish teitzaa means lahashmid. Leiskitola means laharog. And laabed is ulohovada. So my nation, myself, my nation have been sold for these three things. The ilule laavdin ulaamon is dabnon. If only we would have been sold as slaves, maidservants, then shaskis we would have been. I would have been quiet. Arum les mikara timin urvacha. But the truth is, there is no mikavit timin urvacha. This person does not care for any of the damage. Timin urvachake. Two different expressions which mean benefit. Be an zeka de malka. He does not care for the damage to the king. Okay, I'm not really sure the exact translation of those words, but that's the basic. The basic gist is he's just translating the pasuk on a very based on a simple level. Okay. Now there is a very popular word on this pasuk. And that is that Achashverosh only signed off, I mentioned this before, Le'abdon, to destroy the Jewish people with an ayin, an evet, Le'abdon. And Haman went forward and he changed it from La'abdon with an ayin to La'abdon with an aleph. So here she is revealing to the king that Haman went overstepped his authority and to destroy Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's why she mentions here the fact that we really only were what it was meant to be sold as slaves, and then I would have not have spoken up. Another idea I saw is here she calls this person the Tsar. The Tsar is a word which means an enemy, but also has a connotation of a Tsara. As you all know from Masechta Yevamos, that when a man has two wives, each wife is a tsara to the next wife. Tsaras, a rival. What? Because they're both competing for the attention of their husband. So some want to suggest, based upon various midrashim, that over here there was a lot more going on in the conversation than when the pasuk records. And Esther was telling Achashverosh that this man is a serial queen killer. He killed your first queen, Vashti, and now he's out to get me. Why is he out to get me? Because he still has hopes that his daughter will also be your wife. She just committed suicide. But when there are two women competing for, maybe he had another daughter, maybe he had another one in line. Could be he had so many sons, Roy Vanov, and he was telling her, he's saying is that this man wants that his daughter should be the queen, and the only problem is the position is already taken. There's only one queen, so therefore it's like basically similar to two women fighting for the attention of their husband. So this word here is being selected because again it has that connotation of tsaros, two women fighting for the attention of their husband. This man Haman, he wants me to die. The real reason why he wants to destroy the Jewish people is because he knows that I am Jewish, he knows the secret, and thereby he will eliminate me so that his daughter can then step up, she was the runner up, and become the queen. Therefore I am viewed as a tsara to his daughter. This is what part of the conversation, and that's why this word over here is chosen.
So rare, right?
So there are many reasons, right?
But she also was trying to step in.
Okay, there are many. I am Panim LaTorah. Okay, but this is also true.
More
of a pshat, and it's more of a drush of why he selected Nechanam, why he selected this word. Okay, another idea is according to the Medrash, another approach is that Achashverosh only agreed la abdam with an aleph. I'm going to come to this in the next pasuk, the next two psukim. He agreed to allow the Jewish people to be destroyed, but Achashverosh wanted them to be destroyed through shmat. In other words, he wanted Purim to be Hanukkah.
What was the tzara during the time of the Ivanim? The Ivanim wanted, they were very willing to allow the Jewish people to live, but on their terms. The Jewish people had to abandon, had to give up their religion. Their religion can be put away in the museum, but they had, even if they wanted to do the religion, but they had to adapt, they had to embrace the culture of the Yevanim, and that would be okay. By doing so, it would remove the Kedusha from Klal Yisrael. There was a disagreement between Haman and Mordechai how to destroy the Jewish people. We'll come to this really in the next pasuk. Achashverosh and Haman. Haman wanted blood. He was not interested in Shmat, in causing them to abandon their religion and embracing the Persian culture. He wanted blood. He wanted them off the face of the earth. Achashverosh perhaps was more clever. He says it would be better to them, let them live, just let us force them by brute force that they should abandon their religion. Yeah?
It's not normal for a king to want to destroy
exactly
segments of his population, Barov Hadras Melech. So,
well, that was
he would be less inclined.
Less inclined to wipe them off the planet. And that indeed is that's what one of the arguments that Haman made back in the beginning of the Megillah is that it's not going to be noticeable. Since they're dispersed throughout the Malchus, no one's going to notice the difference. If they live in one district, in one location, and you wipe out a whole state, a whole borough, a whole city, then people are going to take note. But being that, then the Am is mifuzar umifarad bein ha'amim. They are dispersed. No one's going to pay attention. But according to this other approach, that's not so. Even destroying the Jews that are dispersed is going to be problematic. And the original plan of Achashverosh was to enact laws that will force the Jewish people to abandon their religion. The gezer was indeed le'abdom with an aleph, which means to destroy, but to destroy them spiritually. And destroying them spiritually will lead to assimilation, and that will be even greater than destroying them physically. Here, Esther comes along and she says that he went too far. Nimkarnu ani v'ami lehashmid laharog ulaabed. Three expressions that you don't even know what's going on in your own backyard. When Haman sent out the letters was not to enact gezeiros, but to wipe them off the face of the earth. Laharog, he went for blood, and that is not in your best interest. And that's what she says. If we have just been slaves, as slave also has no das. That includes that he would have just made the gzera to prevent us from doing the mitzvahs. Don't worry, that's not a problem because we would be able to overcome that. But this already has gone too far. He does not consider the nezek hamelch, the fact that tax are not going to be paid. Okay, another idea is mentioned in the word of nimkarnu. Ki nimkarnu ani v'ami. Why does she mention we have been sold? She was saying a very, very powerful accusation. And you know, today in today's time, it really hits home. She's saying that this man Haman is creating for you a bad reputation. They're going to say that you took a bribe. You took a bribe. There is corruption in the government in the highest places. He, we, Kinim Karnu, I myself and my nation were sold. Someone, the government does things based upon the influence of the highest bidder. And that was in today's time, unfortunately, we all know too well that if there's any even reach of impropriety of someone taking a bribe, a politician taking a few dollars in order to influence policy, even in today, in this modern world, you see what goes on, and then 5 minutes later, it's in the news, and then they have to leave office, and then all of a sudden you hear about investigations, committees, and a criminal investment, a criminal trial. For people that don't do anything which just follow the money, wherever the money leads you, that's where there's corruption. So the truth is, what?
If you take a lot of dollars, then you don't get in trouble.
If you take a lot, what do you mean? Okay, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but the point of the area is you take.
There's something in some society, but in other societies,
that's the way the name of the game. That's the name of the game. But oh, it seems so. I saw this over here in the Sosim Amdinos. He says something. He says over here what it means is, the truth is, Achashverosh did not take money. Haman wanted to pay. Haman did want to pay. He gave 10,000 talents of silver. He made it sound like it's going to be given. It's going to be, I'm going to, they're going to pay for the overtime that's going to go into for the workers to do all the work. But on a very simple level, he's giving a bribe. Listen, the country, the government needs money. The melech is the king owns the world. So all the money that's going to pay overtime, if it's not going to be paid by Haman, it's going to come out of the pocket of the king. So everything is all the money. The entire country, the entire world is all just the pocket of the melech, its personal wealth. So basically, Haman was trying to bribe Ahasuerus. That's what it was all about. I'm going to give you 10,000 talents of silver. Haman was a multi-billionaire. He won the Powerball, right? So he had all that money. It was no big deal. I'll give you the money. I'll give you the money, and you can do. And so that's a bribe. Now, did Ahasuerus take the bribe? He didn't take the bribe. But people don't know that. And here he's going to be here. Esther is very clever. She's saying
he took the
suggestion, but he didn't take the money. He didn't take the money. It's a very interesting thing. If you do something wrong and you don't take the money for it, there's a lot of limud zchus in government. I know of a case where a person was on hot, the officials were in hot pursuit of a certain people. This is from Shem Kalmonios, and one person they really nailed very strongly, and the other person was in trouble also, but he didn't take any money. He did what he did because he felt it was the right thing to do. He did a l'shma. And he didn't take, the other person took money, and this one did not take money. And the one that took money, they nailed him. He's in a lot of trouble.
With Epstein, no?
And the one that didn't take money, even though he did the same thing, he got away with it. How did he get away with it? It's illegal, it's criminal. If he didn't take money, so then already, we're right, so there's a limud zchus. You're not a tzaddik in our eyes, but they went very, very light on the person. There's something to it. Obviously, you see that if you take the Torah says, yes, soine betza, a person's a soine betza, is a very good limud zchus. She here very cleverly is telling that, you know, your legacy is at stake here. You're going to go down history as a melech that was an oyhev betza, that was for sale. They're saying about you, Kinim Karnu. It's just a matter of paying money to the highest bidder. You'll give away, you'll sell your own mother for a few dollars. You'll sell your wife for a few dollars. That's really what he's saying over here. And it wasn't even true. It wasn't even true. But people knew the fact that money was being paid, and that was also an additional wedge that she planted, that she inserted between Haman and Ahasuerus to save Klal Yisrael. So there's Nimkarnu, there, and also, what is Anivi Ami? There's another Farshman explained over here, is that don't think for a moment that there's a difference between myself and my nation. If my nation is destroyed, my life is not worth living. Don't think I'm coming over here. Ahasuerus will say, listen, the Jewish people, I'm not favorable of. For them, I agree to Haman, I'm going to destroy them. But you, Esther Amalka, we mentioned over here yesterday that Esther, Ahasuerus has shown at this point endearment. He's shown an extreme love. He mentions her name multiple times to show that he has a special degree of love for her. So she says, it's all the same. Don't think you can separate myself from my nation. It's all the same. If my nation is no longer in existence, my life is not worth living. It's ani v'ami. It's all or nothing. Nimkarnu, you're just for sale. Lahashmir laharugu la'abed, Haman lied to you. He told you either la'abdam with an ayin, and he made it into an aleph. Or even if he said it with an aleph, that was to destroy them spiritually. And he went forth and he decided to destroy the Jewish people physically. Hacharasha would have been silent. Ki'ein Hatzar. There's another reason over here. Hatzar is because your Haman's daughter wants to be the queen. And I am a tzara to her. That's why Shoyve Benezek Melch, he has no interest in the economy. Right? It's the economy, stupid. That expression, it's all about the economy. His policy is going to bring a depression, a recession. There's every single word in this pasuk is trying to bring out all the various, like how many things do we go out? Nimkarnu, Anivyami, Lahash Lahagab, we have two ideas. And then when it came to the Tsar, is another idea. The Tsar is the Tsara, and the Nezek HaMelech is the economy. That's at least six ideas. The Mepharshim see in this pasuk six different ideas that she's expressing to Achashverosh why this plan is a disaster on every single level. Okay, now you just reminded me something I forgot to mention yesterday. This is a very interesting idea. Is that we mentioned yesterday that Haman's daughter commits suicide when she saw that she mistakenly poured the tsoa, the chamber pot, upon the head of her father instead of Mordechai. She jumped off the balcony and she died. Why? Why was that necessary? How many times in society do we see parents be mavaz to their children and they don't commit suicide? In fact, they're proud about it. So why? Why was it so big deal? So she threw a chamber pot on her father. She has to commit suicide. Is this what her father would have wanted? So I saw something very interesting. Is what was the midah? Who is Haman? Haman comes from Zera Amalek. Who is Amalek? Amalek is the grandson of Esav. What is Esav's one mitzvah?
Kibud
Avaim. This is their kibud av. This is their big mitzvah. Their whole. This is the only thing that they have chis for. The only zuchus they have in this world. The only way you can exist in this world is in the zuchus of Torah. So the one thing that they have that gives them a chis to live in this world is the decency. Even though they don't do because HaKadosh Baruch Hu command them to do, but there's something very noble about being mechabed your father. And in fact, Yaakov Avinu was afraid. Vayira vayomar. Yaakov, when he came to greet Esav, he was afraid. What was he afraid of? That he has two mitzvahs. The zechus of kibud av and the zechus of yishav eretz yisrael. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu had to prepare with mulchama, with a gift for mulchama, because Esav, he does have zechus. There's something very serious. Here, we're dealing with the great-great-grandchildren over here, 20 generations, and indeed, when you mess up by them, when you mess up kibud av v'aim, you have nothing to live for. By Klal Yisrael, if Rachman al-Litzlan, you mess up on kibud av v'aim, so you have another 612 mitzvahs you could hang on to, a purpose to live in this world. But by the Goyim, the only mitzvah is kibud av v'aim. That's the only thing that at least Esav, Amalek. And when no longer than therefore, it was in their culture that if you mevaze your father, it's not kedai to live anymore. It's a mesorah from Esav. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Achashverosh, Vayomer Esav Malka. So here it says the word Vayomer twice. We'll come to that in a moment. Mihu ze v'eze. Who? This is a very nice pasuk, nice tongue twister. Mihu ze v'eze. That tongue twister is a nice expression. Asher melolibo la'asoyskid. Who is this individual who has filled up his heart to do so? The pasuk before you read the Mefarshim is a shocking pasuk because only 3 days ago, Achashverosh sat down with Haman and they negotiated the sale of the Jews. Hakesef nosaloch v'ha'am la'sospo katol deinecha. You don't know what happened 3 days ago. Come on, 3 days ago, you don't remember what happened? What kind of illness is this person suffering from? We mentioned before that he has schizophrenia, melech tibish, flip-flop, and now, okay, so one thing, but you don't even know, 3 days ago, you know, politicians, it takes eight years to realize, to show you that you're flip-flop. What you said 8 years ago in your campaign, what?
It takes no time at all to throw somebody under the bus.
3 days. 3 days, okay, could be 3 days already. Is saying Mihu Zevi Eze Hu Hashem El Olibo Lasos Kain. Whatever you're going to answer, that I didn't know the degree of what he meant to do, like all the different things that we said before. I only said La Abdam with an Ayin, with an Aleph, Ruchnis, Gashmias. Whatever answer you're going to give me, it's not going to satisfy the question. It's not going to really satisfy Mihu Zevi Eze Hu Hashem El Olibo Lasos Kain. Why don't you take a guess? I'll give you three choices. Take a guess. Who do you think is the one Hashem al Olivo Lassos came? It's a very tough question, which I so far have not found a satisfactory answer. But the question has to be acknowledged. Let's see. So he says twice, let's see Rashi Pasikei, Mihu Ze Vayomer Achashverosh Vayomer Lesa Malko, Kol Mokoim, Shenemar, every place where it says Vayomer Shnei Pam Ein Elo L'Midrash. There's something deep. There's some message that's being taught over here. Umidrashai, the Medrash just explains, Shal zeh, when he began to converse with her, it was through an intermediary. Now when it was revealed that she was from Klal Yisrael, a descendant of Shaul HaMelech, Sheyada Hashem Mishpachas Melachim, he Dibur Imohu Be'atzmo, so he took away the Turgumon, he took away the translator, or he took away the intermediary, and he spoke to her directly. According to what I've seen in Farshim, that in ancient times, it was Sarara. It was a sign of greatness where you did not speak directly to the person, to the king. You don't come too close. Don't familiarity breeds contempt. Is that the expression?
Yes.
You don't. It's the nida of malchus. Even when you
that's
have
the
a
way you usually talk in the third person. They didn't talk to the king.
Besides the third person, but you don't even speak to him directly. You speak to a shaliach. He's on one side of the room, and you're on the other side. And there's a person that goes back and forth. Why? In order to maintain respect. Yira is always at a distance. When you're afraid of something, you distance yourself. You have to create at times artificial fear. Artificial fear, because what is the goal of fear? A yorei shamayim. You're afraid. Ahava means you come close. Yira means you distance. You stay far away. We wear a head covering. Why do we wear a head covering? It's a sign of Yira Shamayim. Why is a head covering? A separation. We separate ourselves. We're so afraid of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We want to have a separation, a barrier, a symbolic barrier between us and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So sometimes you have it's the real deal. You have a real sense, the fear factor. You walk into a room, you have a presence. A certain presence. Is it a spiritual presence? Is it a physical presence? I don't know. I have a friend who's a Menahel. When I grew up in Chaim Blumenthal, a Menahel was of Chaim Siegel. So he had the fear factor. When he walked into a room, it was magic.
Fear.
What?
Fear is reverence.
Reverence. When he walked into a room, everyone was afraid. That's just the way it was. He walks into the room, no matter what's happening, everyone's afraid. It's like, why are we afraid of him? Why? What are we afraid? What define is very. I always wonder what to define. Why? No matter what's going on, when he walks into the gym and everyone is running around, all of a sudden silence. He walks in, and when he proctored the regents, no cheating. When he proctored the regents, no. Not in my day. Not in my. He walked in. This. So I had a friend who became a menahel. And he says, I don't have, when I walk into the room, they're not afraid of me. They don't have this, when he is, where do you get it? Is it how do you accomplish that? How do you get this koyach? The koyach, you need a person, children need a person whom they fear. So I call the Shparchu, that's what it is, you fear. So over here he's telling us that in ancient times people didn't fear the king. He was just a Baltaiva. Most kings were Rishoyim, the Goyish kings. How do you create artificially? Artificial. The way you create artificial fear is distance. Mystique. Some people are masters at this concept. You know how to create this artificial mystique of distance. Everything is mysterious. No goals. No rules. It creates a certain mystique, and that's exactly what was done in those times. He did not speak to the king. However, at this point in time, when he realized who she was, who she came from, so he did away with all of this and he spoke to her directly. That's what Rashi says. Now, it's very interesting that in the Medrash there's a completely opposite interpretation. That originally he spoke to her directly. She was the queen. A queen. Afterwards he said to her, I just said the queen. I once had it when I was children. My one of the sons used to say, "Let's play. You'll be the king. I'll be the king, and you'll be the queen." But originally we started off where he was talking directly to her, directly to the queen. Now, when he realized that she is a Jew, oh, you're a Jew. I don't talk to Jews. It says in the front yard, no dogs and Jews allowed. Mm-hmm. I don't talk to Jews. So now the second Vayoyimer, he put in between her a miturgamon. So the Medrash has a completely opposite interpretation of this. Rashi, really, they're both in the Midrashim. Rashi is selecting one of two interpretations. Can you reconcile the two? I don't know. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But they're two different approaches. And the truth is, it represents the complex situation that Achashverosh found himself in now at this moment in time. On the one, like the Farshim, they were Milas and Chassonis, knowing what the situation is. On the one hand, he was very happy that his wife came from royal lineage, but on the other hand, he wasn't necessarily happy that she was Jewish. On the one hand, he was happy, you know, this was a mystery that was bothering him for the last 5 years. Where does she come from? And now, and she kept on denying, I'm not telling you the answer. I don't know the answer. Now, finally, he knew the answer. But he was on the other, that's a simcha. Ain't simcha ka'ataras ha'sveikas. But on the other hand, you're not happy with knowing the answer. The answer is not something which, with the answer. Another approach is that one of the reasons why she planned this party, it drove him crazy. Achashverosh suspected that there was a plot between Haman and Esther to overthrow Achashverosh. There was something going on between the two. Who knows? Maybe the whole Secret Service is in on this plot, and they're going to suddenly come out and get rid of me, and they're going to make Haman the new Melech. Now, when he found out that Esther is Jewish, it's impossible that she would be working together with Haman. Haman is the arch enemy of the Jewish people, so there's no way in the world that these two would come together to overthrow Achashverosh. So he had tremendous simcha. I know I'm not in danger anymore. I was suspicious of every single person in this palace who knows that my time here in the palace is coming to an end. Now I see that I'm nothing to worry about because these two are two. But the other hand, he wasn't so happy because I'm not happy to know that I'm married to a Jew. The whole world is going to be talking about what's going on over here. The king is married to a Jew. This is not going to go off well. Another interpretation is that his astrologers told him that a Jew is going to take over. A Jew is going to inherit your malchus. And this bothered him to no end. It's tagnine paro. How could it be that a Jew, my malchus, paras umadai? Now when he found out that his wife is Jewish, that means their child is Jewish. So, b'chol odom, odom ekane, chutz mibino. So my son's Jewish. So big deal. That's okay. As long as it's my son. It was a tremendous relief to the itztagnine amelech that a Jew is going to take over your malchus. A Jew, that means that I'm going to lose the malchus. But my own son is going to take over the malchus. So let him be Jewish. That doesn't bother me. So it was a very great relief. It was a relief. But on the other hand, he wasn't so happy because, okay, it's a Jew. Still a Jew is a Jew. So there is a very mixed. All of these things are true. All of these like 5 reasons we've given, they're all true. On the one hand, it was tremendous relief and simcha, knowing the answer to all of these mysteries. But on the other hand, there was a degree of agmas nefesh. And that idea is expressed in the two midrashim. What changed? Vayoymer, vayoymer. Until now, he spoke to her directly. And now he put in between him and her a miturgamon, or vice versa. Until now he spoke to her indirectly, and now he spoke to her directly. There must be this truth to both, because there was simcha in the revelation, and there was agmas nefesh in this revelation. And therefore, there was a change of approach between him and the queen. Okay, now let's see.
I think on some level he's posturing over here, because he knows he signed off on Haman's desire to kill all the Jews. He had to sign off on it.
Right.
And took the money. So now he has to go over the top to show that he was against it, or that he was being a little bit of a fool.
He's going to be under scrutiny.
But he can't act like a fool about not knowing Esther. So he's just reacting over the top over here on purpose.
Is he lying?
Like he's really angry.
Is he a lie? Saying it's a lie.
Get rid of the Jews.
Exactly.
Esther knows it, and he knows she knows.
So how could he say these words? Mi'uzevi ezu asher meloli bolasos
kein. It's a phony reaction.
That has to be the symbol. It's how phony could you be already?
Right. So how could he? So he's just pretending here to show that he doesn't want to make himself look as bad as he does in the eyes of. He knows in the eyes of Esther, he has to look bad. So he's trying to
Right.
Okay, let's see the Targum first. There are a few more things. Let's see the first Targum. Pasuk Hey, Vamar Malko L'Achashverosh. The Melech Achashverosh said, Vamar L'Esther Malkisos. So again, the two different expressions of Vamar. Man Hu Dein Uve Eidein Asar. And who? So first he says, Man, who is this person? Mi Hu Zeh. Then when it says Uve E Zehu, he translates Uve Eidein Asar Hu Gavra. And in which location? The Ezehu, he seems to translate, where is he? The Eidon Asar. Asar means a place. We call Asar the Asar. We say that in the Kaddish. What? Moro the Asr. Very good. Moro the Asr. No, what? The Eidan Asar. And in which place? That's a very unique translation. The Ezehu, who is this person and where is he? Where is he? Find him for me. Gavra Chatzifa. The Gavra who has Moli Chutzpah, the Chayava, and is guilty. Umiroda, and is rebellious. Three expressions. D. Amlichine Levave. That has his heart has lifted him up. Lichne means his heart has advised him. Milo libo. Milo libo means, he's translating milo means advice. Amlichine means advice. Livavei, his heart has advised him. Lenevad kidein, to act as such. So who is he and where is he? Now some of the other commentators take this pasuk. Mihuze is a very nice expression. Mihuze vi ezehu. And they connect it to what it says in the pasuk. Amazing! And I don't remember where it is. This is in Mishpatim. Asher yoimar ki hu zeh. It's in the parsha of Shavua, the parsha of a person.
It's
Mishpatim. The person who takes all the various laws of oaths.
Asher yoimar ki hu zeh. Asher yon elokim yavod
Barshem. So that pasuk is the source of a very very complex concept called Moida B'Miksas. The person says to his friend, you owe me $100, and the person says, I only owe you 50. If he says, I owe you nothing, okay? So, what can you do? You can't take him to court. If he says, I owe you $100, okay, so pay me the $100. What happens if he says, I owe you $50? Torah is a very unique chiddush. Torah says, in such situation, he's chayiv to make a shvuah. He has to pay $50, he admits. And the other $50, since he admitted part of the obligation, he has an obligation to go to court and to swear in Beis Din on a Sefer Torah that he does not, that it truly denies the other $50. That's now. Where do you see in the pasuk Asher Yoimar Ki Hu Zeh? So the answer, because it says there are two words Asher Yoimar Ki Hu and Zeh. Hu is indirect, and Zeh is direct. Which the Mefarshim explained, why is this pasuk have anything to do with the parsha of Moedim Miksas? Because these two words contradict one another. Zeh is explicit. Zeh means yes, I know about this money. This you're making a claim of $100, $50. Zeh, here it is. I owe you the $50. Who is? I don't know what you're talking about. Who? It has a connotation of
in English. Who?
It has a connotation of I don't know what you're talking about. It's hidden. Who means there's something there, but it's hidden. In other words, you're making a claim which has no substance. Who? You are demanding $50, but I don't know what it's who. It's again, I don't have the exact words to trigger. It has a connotation that it doesn't really exist. There is nigla and nista. There is what is in the open, and now the truth is it does exist. And that's why he has to take a shoe. The Gemara says the reason why the Torah said you have to take a shoe is because it's more likely he does. If a person really owes $100, he's embarrassed to say, I don't have the money. It's human nature to try to compromise. And the Torah says, no compromise. A ganef is a ganef. You owe him the money, don't make me sell it to a tzaddik by saying I only owe you $50, you owe them $100, and therefore take a shvuah, and because you'll be embarrassed, take a shvuah, you'll give him the full $100. It's human psychology. So the Torah, so the word, there's the nigla and the nista. The same thing over here. Haman over here was saying to Achashverosh that when it comes to a plan, every time you have a situation in Congress, someone, a senator or a commission, they write a new law and they pass the bill to the legislator for approval. So there, who wrote the law? Who wrote the law?
Who's the sponsor?
A, B, and C. The senator from this state and the senator from this state. There's a tell. Yeah, and tell me, and who is really the sponsor of this bill? Oh, the real sponsor. Well, the senator has some good old buddies back in Arizona, and they have some interests in mind, and behind closed doors there's some negotiating going on that if you'll go and you'll help me get this law passed, which will mean I'll become a multimillionaire overnight, then I'll give your son a job. or I'll do this, or I'll do that. Let's not talk about corruption. Let's talk about, we'll make a deal. You want something from me, I want something from you. Let's talk about where it's legal, politics, whatever it is. There's always a hidden agenda. Every time in government, it's in government, politics, Chazal say, if all the skies were quill, was parchment, and all the seas were ink, and all of the reeds were quills, it would be impossible to describe in words all of the intricacies of politics. There's always what?
I thought it said that about Hashem.
Also, it says that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it says also about the Rishus. It says about the Rishus. Rishus is the government. It says that about the praises, but it says the same thing also in Pirkei Avos about the politics of government, the intricacies of politics of government. It's just impossible. So the truth is, every time that someone has an agenda in government, there is always the nigla and the nistar. Here, just like when it comes to the parasha of Moed B'Mikzas, there is the nigla and the nistar. And the way the Torah expresses the nigla and the nistar is Asher Yemar Ki Hu Zeh. Who is the nistar? Zeh is the nigla. Likewise, when Achashverosh asked Esther, he played dumb. He played, it's amazing how dumb he played over here. He must have been, if you want to take this pasuk literally, he has to have been mentally ill to go at completely no retention. There are some people like that. No
deniability.
Total deniability. I don't know the nigla. I never saw the bill sponsored by. I never signed such a bill. And I don't know the politics that went behind the bill, behind the presentation. I'm sure every time a law is put in the modern times to the president to sign, or any head of state, he knows what's going on behind the scenes. He knows who sponsored the bill. He knows the secret agenda behind this. There's always deals that are going on behind the scenes. I don't know the zeh, and I don't know the who. Complete deniability on 100%. Me who zeh? Who sponsored the bill? I don't know. The a zeh who? And what are the politics, the secret deals that have come that before the bill was presented to me, the secret parts, the politics that went on behind the scenes, I also know. I know from nothing, and don't hold me accountable for anything that's happening over here. Total deniability in what is taking place in front of us. It's a very good vart. This is a very, very stark vart. This ki hu zeh, these two different terms, connecting it to the sugya of moed b'mikzas. Okay, Hashem lo yivlasos kein. Okay, so let's go further. Pasuk vav, vayitomer Esther. Esther responded, ish tsar v'oyev hamon haro hazeh. So she finally spilled the beans. She finally reveals it's this person, hamon haro hazeh. The Haman was Nivas, Milifne HaMelech VeHamalka, he was in a state of shock. Nivas, it's a hard word to translate, it means he was bewildered, right? About Lashon of, I don't have a really good word for Nivas. Well, the Rashi does not say anything over here. He was startled. We have to find the precedent for the word nivas. Stunned. Nivas mufnei melech. Now, by the way, the Targum says, the Medrash says...
Yeah, Ezra says nivhol.
Nivhol. Bewildered. Bewildered. But it has more of even a more powerful expression. The Medrash says, don't read nivas with a tof. Right. There's another letter in the Alapes. I don't know what even the difference between the pronunciation of a tes. Do we differentiate between a tes and a tof?
Yeah, because a tof, according to, you know, Hebraic, it's tov. With a, as opposed to tes, which is a th sound, and that's a th sound.
The, yeah. Tes. Yeah. I thought the base.
No, tes is a th, but a tof is a th.
Okay, it's too complicated for me. But whatever it is, the Medrash sometimes, occasionally, for the purposes of Drush, the Medrash interchanges the letter tes and the letter tov. And they do it over here. So nivat. Nivat means kick. According to the Medrash, it says, see, it's shocking Medrash, Esther kicked Haman where it hurts. She gave him a kick, gave him a zet. The Haman nivas. Nivat. And Haman was kicked. He was kicked where it hurts. Melifnei Hamelech VeHamalka. From before the king. You never look. I have it over here. I have it over here in the green. In the green Haman Nivas. So that's an amazing, amazing thing. Is Esther was a real, a hands-on person. In fact, just to parallel as a sequel to this idea, when it's Haman, and it says in the Leiden Pas that he fell upon her. He comes back, and Esther, and he Haman noifel al hamita, so he fell on her as if he's trying to have with her marital relations. No, not attack. No, that's one shot. But according to the Mefarshim, it means he's trying to live with her, have marital relations. Mamish right in front. What?
Relations.
He's having with her relations with her, the equivalent of what would have been marital relations. He's having with her. And the Midrash is saying so what in the world is so the Midrash says a Malach came and pushed him, right? A Malach came or what?
Yes.
A Malach came and pushed me, fell on her, and Achashverosh walks in, and they are in a very bizarre position. Okay, they are, looks like they're embracing a compromising position. Achashverosh sees this. What in the world is going on over here? Okay, so that's I think we've all been brought up with. That the Malach came. The Malach. You know what it says in the Medrash? This is like the same Medrash that says that he kicked her. Esther pulled him on her.
Oh.
Not that the Malach came. Esther deliberately, she went and she pulled him in order that she's Achashverosh to walk in. He, so Esther was the one that was pulling the strings over here. She put him in a compromising position. Okay, and then it goes on to say, and then the Medrash says she was very strong. She was able. Esther, no, that totally. No, we have this impression as Esther she already broke her fast. But we get the impression that Esther was this very tsunua dika besyakov girl. What?
He doubled over. She was easy. She's
unified. We get the impression that Esther was this very tsnistic, a Besyakov girl, right? Very. No! She was a hands-on person. She took matters into her own hands. She gave him a kick. She gave him a kick. And then when it's necessary, she pulled him on him. She pulled him on her in order to present this very bizarre...
But when it says no fail,
yeah.
That's the trigger for saying he was...
I know that's the poshup shot. Okay, the act of fall. That's what they told him. The Zedvar says, "Ki the faulty pole of fall, you're going to fall." And here, this was part of that falling. Okay, let's go here. Let's go back to the past. Well, over here, she says, "Ish sarichum razeh." The nivas the Haman was nivas. He was, but we have the gears with a tov, which means he was in a state of shock, a state of bewilderment. He did not see this coming because he was over here at this high. He went and that was the purpose. Esther brought him up. Lifnei, what does it say? Lifnei shever go'in. Before destruction, you bring them up. He was set. What? Good. Say it again.
Pride goeth before a fall.
Ooh, wow. Fancy, fancy words here.
The Bible.
Lifnei. Chapter and verse. Lifnei shever goin. Before destruction, there is pride. Esther set him up. She set him up for this stunning fall. And when you're in this, you're not prepared to deal with this situation. But they don't teach Gemara in Beis Yaakov. All right. Let's see what it says in the Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav. There is no Rashi. It's amazing. On such a powerful pasuk, there is no Rashi. There's someone in Midrash with this pasuk. Let's see pasuk vav in the Targum. Okay, so we have over here an elaborate. Let's see if we can figure out. We can figure out this Targum. Very long Targum. Va'amados gavra meikara, and she said, and va'amaras. She said, gavra miiko. And miiko means an evil. She responded, Ish Tsar. Tsar is a translation of Iko means a troublesome person, oppressor. Uve El Devava, and an enemy. Deva, now, I guess she's translating the word Hora, evil, as an enemy. Uve El Devava, a person with whom I quarrel, an enemy. Deva Lemiktaloch Biramsha. Now, she says some shocking things. This man, he wants to kill you in the evening. This man is the one that wants to kill you. Beveis dimchoch. He's the one that wanted to kill you last night. Last night you saw there was a person lurking outside. You woke up in the middle of the night. And who is here? I hear someone outside. Who is lurking outdoors? Oh, Haman. So he was the one, l'miktalach beramsha beveis dimchoch, in your inner chamber. He wanted to kill you last night. Doesn't say that in the pasuk. And what else? V'yoma dein. And on this day, he wants ba'al l'milbash, Istilo de Malchusa, he's the one that wanted to wear the cloak of the king. Ule Merkav and to ride al Susa di Loch and to ride on your horse. Ule Achosa Minicha de Dahava al Reisha and to put the crown of gold upon his head. Ule Morda Vach and to rebel against you. Ule Misav Minach Malchusa and to take away from you your kingdom. The is takfas milsam in Shemaya. However, in heaven they did not agree to his plan. He was overcome. He was overcome in Shemayim. The is aveda hu yukara, and instead of the honor that he was seeking to take for himself, he wanted to kill you, and he wanted to wear. And the rumors will go out. The king is dead, and now we have to appoint a replacement. And he would be the replacement. He would be riding in the street. And in our Shemayim, look what happened. It was reversed. The color that he wanted for himself was given to Mordechai v'saveda hu yukara leMordechai tzadika, the righteous one, who is achoy de Abba. He is the brother of my father. So he's calling him my uncle. He is my uncle. I am his niece. Targum mentioned over here was Dodo, right? Who exactly? Mordechai married his niece. That was the big question. Did he marry his niece or did he marry his cousin? Machlek is how you translate the pasuk. The Targum is of the opinion, but a comma in the pasuk, which means there that it was his uncle, the Abba. Who is Mordechai? He is the Bar Yoir, Bar Shemi, and now we miyachis him. Bar Shemida, Bar Ba'ana, Bar Elo, Bar Micha, Bar Mifi Boishes, Bar Yohinasan, Bar Shaul Malka, Bar Kish, Bar Aviel, Bar Tsuror, Bar Michoiras, Bar Afiya, Bar Shechorim, Bar Uziya, Bar Sosoin, Bar Michoel, Bar Eliel, Bar Amihud, Bar Shifatya, Bar Penuel, Bar Paisach, Bar Meluch, Bar Yubal, Bar Yuchum, Bar Hananya, Bar Zadi, Bar El El. For Al Bar Shemri, Bar Zavadia, Bar Rulus, Bar Hashem, Bar Shechorah, Bar Uzah, 20 nations, Bar Guzah, Ben Gera, Bar Ben Yamin, Bar Yaakov, Bar Yitzchak, Bar Abraham. Now here, what's unique about the Targum is he doesn't stop at Ben Yamin. In contrast, when we start, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shan HaBirah, Shema Mordechai, he went back to where? He didn't go back to Avraham. He went back to Binyamin. So that's very telling that what, there's something going on over here. There's something more going on over here. Gavra mi'ika uve'el, and then he goes on to say, Gavra mi'ika, this evil man, Gavra mi'ika, the evil man uve'el devavah haman, bish, what?
The original identification is kish. And then just identify.
Ish.
That's a tribal identification, not
It doesn't go all the way back to Binyamin.
But he over here he does. The Targum does.
Here, yes.
The Targum.
You said earlier.
Earlier we stopped at Binyamin. We didn't go.
We stopped at Kish.
No, I think we went the Targum. The Targum. I'm contrasting this to the Targum.
He does.
Right. So, but there it stopped at Binyamin. So maybe you want to suggest that here, we want to suggest that here we are issued the Pasuk K, Perek Beis Pasuk K.
There's a reason to mention the
Pasuk K.
Go back to.
No, I know. I made a mistake. I'm thinking about the Targum Sheni, so it's not a Kasha.
Right.
I made a mistake. Gvar Chasidim Modi, you're right. Bar Shemagera, Bar Kish, you're right.
Right.
The Targum Sheni. The Targum Sheni was the one that was Miyachis
right.
There. So there, but the Targum Sheni, if I remember correctly, only went back to Binyamin. He did not go back to Avram Avin. All right. But if here he goes back to Avram, it's Chosavos. And then he goes on, he concludes over here by telling us he returned back over here to Haman. Gavra Mika. Mika means the evil, the Tsar. Uve El Devava, the enemy. Now here he adds one more word, Haman Bish, Haman the evil, Haman Hara. Here he says the Ra, he takes the word Bish, Hadain, Ba'a Limitz Levei, he wants to hang me up. Ba Limitz Levei, he wants to put me on a
the gallows.
The Haman part. That is what he wants. He wants to put me on the gallows. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Doesn't say anything about Taliyah. And the Targum is embellishing the Pasuk that he wants to put us on the gallows. I guess that's important because about Mordechai. He wants with Mordechai on the gallows. Right, with Minyachis Mordechai.
We said in the previous book that Tsar could mean like a Tsara.
Yeah.
So Haman was also a Tsara because Haman was just planning at night when he came to tell the king, me, you know, it's a.
You're in my way. You, Achashresh, are in my way. I want to be the king. And now he goes on, Zagavra Miko Veldavava Haman Bish Hadain Ba'olim Mitzlevei. He wants to hang him up. He wants to hang up. He made the gallows. Look outside. In your backyard, look, you'll see the gallows. The Haman Ishta'anim. He was in shock. Min Koda Malka Malchusas. He was in a state of shock before the king and the Malka. Okay. Let's just jump to the next one. Just to read the pasuk. We'll just begin the next pasuk for a quick moment. Vamelech Kamech Hamosai. And the Melech, I'm just trying to forget anything. Okay, one short thing I forgot to mention. Why do we have three words? Ish Tsar, the Oyev, Hamon Hara. There are three expressions. Tsar, and Oyev, and Ra. So the Medrash says that it corresponds to Lahashmid, Laharog, Ula Abed. Interestingly, so I guess you can match up. Lahashmid is the Tsar, Laharog is the Oyev, and the Ra is La Abed. There must be something deeper in that, but it's an interesting point the Medrash makes. Can the Pasuk spell read the next Pasuk? V'hamelech kamech hamasa mi-mishnei hayayin. He got up in his anger from the Mishnei Hayayin, El Ginas Habison. He went to the garden. V'homon Omad. He stood there. L'vakei shal nafsho me'eser hamalka. Kira. He saw. Ki cholosa ilav. It has come to. Cholosa ilav hara. Cholosa means complete. The ra is complete. Upon him from me'es hamelech. There's no way out. It means that his death is imminent, and the only thing he can possibly do is mivakish from Esther that she should forgive him, or she should do something, say something to the king to spare his life. That was his big mistake, the Medrash says, that he should have went to Achashverosh. Maybe if he would have went to Achashverosh, he could have said something to quiet him down, because after all, they were in collusion. They did get together on this plan. Esther was the wrong person for him to seek her advice. Okay, just why did he go to the garden? Why did he go to the garden? What's in the garden? So the Medrash says that this Medrash is repeated at least in two places, that in ancient times it was the custom that when a king gets angry, when a person gets angry, you go out into the forest, into a garden, and they cut down trees. And when you watch them cut down trees, it calms you down. You have such a thing?
Releasing
stress. So there's a minute. You cut down the tree, it says that you watch. The servants, they chop down trees. You do an act of churban, an act of destruction to let out your frustration. So this is what he's doing over here. He's in a state of fury. He needs a release. Isn't there a debate in the psychologist if it's a healthy thing to do, to release anger, or you should hold it back?
Usually it's negative.
It's negative to release. It's better to hold back.
Hold back. Within reason. Yeah.
with it. So this is, it makes it worse. So this is what it says in the Medrash, that this was a technique that they did in ancient times. They released, they went out to the garden. When they're angry, you go out to the garden and you destroy massive trees to release your energy. That explains Pashup Shah. Why is he going here? What's going on over here? What is he walking out over here? He's in the situation room. There is a situation that has developed. This is where he needs to be. Why is he going out to the garden for a stroll? He needs to release his fury by going out. That's one shot. Now, and here's a Kabbalistic shot. Kabbalistic shot, take it for what is, you know, there is truth in, you know, you don't have to have Kabbalah, you can develop it in other ways, but Ahasuerus now was very disturbed. He now realized that the Jewish people are going to be spared. Ahasuerus, everything is against the Jews. The whole party was that the Jewish people should celebrate their demise. 70 years since the Nevuah. He takes out the big day Kahuna. He takes out the big day, the Kehil and the Beis HaMikdash. The Jews. We're going to finish them off. And now, look at this. Look at this. The queen is Jewish. Mordechai saved his life. Haman is the real villain. He knows how it's going to end. He knows that he's going to have to spare Esther. He knows the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. He knows that Mordechai is going to be a celebrity in society. He has become popular opinion is Mordechai is a tzaddik. So he basically says, I can't believe this. I've been working all these years, been worried sick, what's going to be with the Jewish people? And now, in one moment, I see everything has unraveled. So what does he do? Let me be mekatreg on Klal Yisrael. Again, this is more a Kabbalah, but there's truth to this. Can it really be? Where did all of this start? Why was the nigzar upon the Jewish people they should be destroyed? Two sins. They bow down to the Avodah Zarah. And what was the second reason? Shenene me'oisai su'uda. They had benefit from the Sudas Achashverosh. So he goes back. Where was the Sudas Achashverosh? In the garden. In the garden. In this very garden. He goes back to the garden, basically to the Mokoim, where the sin, the crime was committed. With the Mokoim to be Mekatrek. Like, could it really be, it's all lost, that my plan of destroying the Jewish people has come to an end? They were Nene. Where did I succeed? I made a party for them. And they enjoyed the party. They were Nene. So he went to the garden to be Mekatrek. In this Mokoim, where they sinned, this Mokoim HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember their sin and should somehow allow me to continue to bring my plan to fruition. But it didn't work, of course. Alright, that's a more Kabbalistic approach.